We have the fantastic Mary Butler TD, Fianna Fáil spokesperson for older people and health promotion. Good afternoon, Mary. How are you?
Good afternoon, Will, and thank you for inviting me on to Cry FM today.
Pleasure. Thank you for taking time to come in today. I know you've been out and about on the campaign trail, but before we kick into the campaign itself as well, you were first elected TD 2016.
That's correct. I was first elected in 2016. I was elected to Waterford City and County Council in 2014 for the first time in the Cumra area. Some of the listeners might be they might be familiar with the Cumra Mountains. So I'm from a small town 20 minutes from Waterford City and 30 minutes from Dungarvan called Portlaw. Yep. It used to be a tannery town, but that tannery no longer exists. It closed in the 80s. So born and reared in Portlaw, was always I suppose a member of Fianna Fáil, a Fianna Fáil activist, had canvassed all my life with different councillors, different TDs, and even in the European elections with Brian Crowley and Gerry Collins back in the day. So in 2013 I decided in my mid-40s to put myself forward for the local election. And I was lucky enough to take, there were six seats in the area, and Fianna Fáil elected that particular time three out of six, and I took the last seat. And then I was asked, would I be interested in representing Fianna Fáil in the general election? So went through a convention.
So being a glutton for punishment.
A little bit of a glutton for punishment, and got elected in 2016. So I was honoured when I was elected to be asked by Micheál Martin for two different jobs. Firstly, to be spokesperson for older people, and secondly, I was chair of the Oireachtas Committee for Business, Enterprise and Innovation. So it has been a busy 4 years, I have to say. And of course, representing the people of Waterford City and County. And I pride myself on the fact that I am just not in one particular area. I have a constituency office in Waterford City and a constituency office in Dungarvan, and I also carry out advice clinics throughout the county in Tallow, Lismore, Capoquin, Ballymacarbery, through to Kilmacthomas, Portlaw and Tramore. And I also pride myself on the fact that I believe I'm the most accessible TD in the county because I'm always available to my constituents.
Good. That's got your message out there personally.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Now, obviously, the election has been called and it's not that far away now, a couple of weeks. How's the campaign going?
The campaign is going well. I've been out canvassing all day today, just over on the other side of the Yall Bridge. I canvassed in Ardmore, the beautiful village of Ardmore. I've been in Clashmore. I've been in Kinsale Beg. I've been in Piltown, all those areas. And the reaction on the doors, I have to say, is quite good. People are engaging about politics. And the usual issues come up that we will discuss later, health and housing. But one of the big issues on the doors for this campaign is pension entitlements and
yes,
the age. And it's absolutely huge.
Yeah, a lot of, and the same here with our listeners as well. You know, they've been coming in with that as well. Now, I guess, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there, people need to know what it is that you stand for.
Yes.
You know? And obviously, one of the big things is actually the older people as well. Mm. And health promotion as well. So if you could give...
Yes, well, we have, everybody will know, especially living in Waterford, like we have a fantastic hospital in Waterford City. It's University Hospital Waterford. It's a level 4 acute hospital. But unfortunately, like very many hospitals throughout the country, we're facing huge challenges. We face challenges every day in relation to overcrowding and people on trolleys. We have the longest waiting lists in the country in relation to elderly people looking for either a cataract operation or maybe a hip replacement. And these two things, they're a serious concern to me because it really impacts on the quality of life of an older person. You know, older people want to stay at home safely and securely in the comfort of their own house. But if your sight is impacted or if your ability to walk is impacted, and a simple operation, now I know a hip operation isn't as simple, but you're kind of going into the operation in your health, a procedure on your eye can make life so much easier. And we have a situation, you know, currently that we are bussing people up to Northern Ireland to have these procedures carried
Indeed.
Out. And that to me is just not acceptable.
That's shameful, really.
It's absolutely shameful. And it's embarrassing. Mm. I find it very embarrassing. One of the main issues we face in Waterford is the lack of cardiac care services outside of 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. And there has been an ongoing campaign in Waterford for the past 5 years to try and improve this. So for listeners who might be listening here in Yall and in West Waterford, a lot of those people, if they need hospital care in relation to a cardiac event, they might travel to CUH. In our cases in Waterford, in UHW, the cardiac cath lab is open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So we have a single point of failure straight away because if the cath lab breaks down, During that time, there was absolutely no access. So I have with my Oireachtas colleagues, which is unusual in some instances, but all the Oireachtas colleagues, the TDs and the senators, came together for the past 3 years, and we've worked collectively because there were only four TDs in Waterford, and at the time we had two senators, and we came together collectively and all the TDs in the South East to try and put pressure on the HSE, to put pressure on the Minister for Health. And I'm pleased to be able to announce, even though it's only a stepping stone, that planning permission for a second cath lab came through 2 weeks ago. So we finally have movement, and we have the money secured also to fund it. It will still take about 18 months. So when I go home this evening to my own home in Portlaw, which is 25 minutes from the hospital, if I or a member of my family or anybody else living in the Waterford area had a cardiac arrest, the cath lab, even though it's a fully functioning cath lab, it's state of the art, is closed, and we would have to be put in an ambulance and transferred to Cork. Now, everybody knows the issues in COH, in the Mercy Hospital in Cork. They have serious issues with overcrowding. They have serious issues with capacity. So we have 500,000 people living in the southeast, and we haven't got equality of access to cardiac care, and it's an absolutely huge issue. It comes up the whole time.
Now, as I understand it, the funding for Waterford Hospital actually goes to Cork.
Well, you see, Waterford Hospital is part of the South South West Hospital Group, so which includes the hospitals in Cork. It includes University Hospital Waterford, University Hospital Kerry, and also Tip General, which is in Clonmel.
Okay, so they then divvy it up,
so they divvy it up. Now, I have to say, we would have serious issues as well in relation to trolley numbers, but I have to compliment Grace Rothwell, who is the general manager of the hospital. She came up with a fantastic idea, which I've been calling for with a long time. So we have a situation throughout Ireland that there are approximately 600 patients in the whole country that are in an acute hospital bed, but they have been passed fit to be discharged by a consultant, but they have no place to go. Now, some of the cases are complex, about 100 of them, so they're not easily solved. But there's quite a lot of people, for example, they can't go home because they can't get the correct home care supports package that they need. Some of the people might be waiting for access to a nursing home, waiting for Fair Deal. Some people need rehab or they need respite. So what she has taken an initiative, she has bought the capacity of 26 beds in a nursing home in Dungarvan called Care Choice for 12 weeks at a cost of €1,000 per bed. Now, a cost to stay in an acute hospital anywhere in the country is approximately €5,500. So what this means is that if I was in hospital and I was deemed fit to be discharged by the consultant, but not maybe ready to go home, you could go and stay in the nursing home for maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the consultant determines. But that's freeing up capacity throughout the hospital, and it's also freeing up capacity in A&E, because we have to accept that if you have a pinch point when you're trying to exit the hospital, you're going to have a pinch point when you're trying to enter the hospital because the beds are tied up. This is hard to believe. There was 216,000 bed days lost last year due to late discharges throughout all the acute hospitals in the country, because people were in a bed because they want to go home, but the option wasn't there for them because they didn't have the correct wraparound supports. So I just think that would be one solution. An awful lot of work I did during the 4 years was focused on home care support packages for the elderly and for those who needed them, and for carers.
And that's where the wraparound support comes into its own.
Absolutely. Now, currently, the latest figures I got, there's 7,881 people in Ireland today waiting for a home care support package, commonly known as home help. But home help kind of has changed now, because you only get the home care support package based completely on clinical and medical need. And these are fantastic carers who come into the home of the person maybe for half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening, make sure they're up, you know, help them get dressed.
But also a lot of those home helps would be unpaid family members.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, for every one person, you know, that you have in Ireland that might be suffering with dementia or Alzheimer's, there's three members of the family directly impacted. But we have a situation that we have 7,800 people waiting for a home care support package today. Now, the government did promise in the budget that there would be an extra 1 million home hours, and that sounds like an awful lot, but that only equates to 3 hours for each person per week waiting on the waiting list. You know, so Fianna Fáil have pledged going forward 5 million extra hours, and we absolutely need that. We need to clear the waiting list. But there's an awful lot of people who do receive home care supports, but they're not getting enough of ours, because as you deteriorate, you need more supports. So this is something I'm really, really passionate about. I've put a huge amount of work into it. What surprised me during the summer, I discovered that 50% of all home care hours are outsourced to the private companies. And I called on the minister and I called on the HSE to carry out a cost-based analysis. We're spending $450 million a year on home care supports. But the question I want to ask is, are we getting value for money? And I asked for...
I would say a lot of the electorate would be asking that as well.
Yes, are we getting value for money, and is the money following the patient? So the question I asked was, and it was refused, would they carry out a cost-based analysis to see, for example, in the area where we live, so in the South Southwest Hospital Group area, 26% of all home care services are provided by private companies. Now, I'm not knocking private companies, I'm just pointing out the facts. In Dublin and the greater Dublin area, all home care support packages, all 100%, are provided by private companies. And I want to know if one area of the country can supply 3/4 of the hours through the public service and 25% are supplied by the private sector, why is that different everywhere? Mm. Obviously, private hours do cost more. And the question I'm asking is, can we do a cost-based analysis on it to see, are we getting value for money? This year, the government have pledged $489 million for home care supports. That's $500 million. But I think it's important to know, where is the money going? Because there's too many people waiting for these supports. And that's something that I have worked quite hard on in the last 12 months.
And that's something that you aim to progress with as well.
I would love to progress with that. Because as someone said to me, if you were in government and you were in a position that you were, you know, advocating for older people, you're in a position to do something about it, what would you do in your first 100 days? And if I was there in the first 100 days, I would advocate for a cost-based analysis to be done, because it's a huge amount of money. But, you know, when you have an older person, a vulnerable older person living on their own, that half hour in the morning, that half hour in the evening is an absolute lifeline. But it's an absolute lifeline for the families as well, who are out working during the day. And just to know that your loved one has somebody there in the morning, that they have taken their medication, that person can check, have they eaten their breakfast? Simple, basic things, but it would improve the quality of your life so much.
Indeed, absolutely. Now, obviously, one of the other big issues as well is the housing, and following on from that, the homeless as well. So from a Fianna Fáil point of view, where do you stand on this and about getting confidence back into the electorate as well and building up a housing stock?
Yeah. You know, the housing and homelessness situation is absolutely chronic. Like, you know, there was always an aspiration among Irish people that you would own your own home at some stage in your life. We have the lowest home ownership ever in the history of the state at 68%, which is very, very unusual for us. Fianna Fáil are pledging going forward that we will build 50,000 affordable homes, 50,000 social homes, which would be local authority homes, and on state-owned land. Now, I think one of the main issues that I have come across in the last 4 years is, and we all accept and recognise that the country was broke, that the Troika had to come to Ireland, that hard decisions had to be taken, you know, and I will be the first to hold my hands up and say Fianna Fáil did make mistakes prior to the Troika coming to Ireland.
It did.
However, we are in a situation now that the local authority is no longer build houses, and the local authorities have to go back building houses. Now, the government will tell you that the local authorities are providing houses, but I'll give you an example. There was an estate in Dungarvan in Waterford called Highfield, which was being built by a private developer. But what happened was, so these were going to be affordable houses for couples who were trying to get on the ladder. But what happened was, the local authority bought the whole estate, lock, stock and barrel, for social housing, which means that those couples who were looking for an affordable house, now the houses were still around 200,000, 225,000, depending on the house. So they're still, you know, substantial, it's a substantial mortgage and a substantial deposit. But the problem going forward is that we need the local authorities going back, actually physically building social housing, but we also need private builders building affordable housing. Because you have so many couples who are outside the threshold of being able to apply for a council mortgage are a Rebuilding Ireland mortgage, or they're outside the threshold of qualifying for a local authority house or HAP payments, which is housing assisted payment, to support you while you're trying to rent a house while you're waiting on the housing list. In the last 4 years, I suppose 90% of everything I have dealt with has either been housing or health across the board. And then the other 10% are the other things you would deal with in relation maybe to planning issues or in, you know, different things that would come your way. But housing and health are the main priorities, and they are the real issues that are coming up on the door.
Yeah, if you build affordable housing through a private developer, they're not going to be affordable.
Yes, but you see, the thing about it is what Fianna Fáil want to introduce is a kind of an SSIA type first time buyer scheme. So where if you would save €3, that the government would match it by €1, and it would help you fund a deposit of up to €10,000 going forward. Now, this would be capped at 25,000. People could do this in the 1 year, so it would cost €250,000. It's just to try and help people going forward, that they would be able to save for a deposit, because when you're paying nearly half your income to rent a house, it's impossible to save for a deposit.
Oh, because if I'm in the government today, right, and I give out a tender, one to a private developer and one to the local council down the road, right, you build a 3-bedroom semi-detached house, both of you, right, the developer will build that house for €330,000 cost, right, the local council will build it for €150,000.
You see, the local councils, we have
a bank of land. Yes,
we have a bank of land, which makes an absolute huge difference.
But that's why it makes sense to give it to the council to build rather than private developers.
Absolutely, but we still need affordable houses as well, and you know there has to be incentives for people that they will be able to know that they're, you know, like in Waterford, in order to qualify for a local authority house, the cut-off point is 32,500. Now, if you have a young couple working earning 40,000 each, you know, they're never going to get on the housing list. So they have to be able to feel that at some stage in their life, they'll be able to apply for a mortgage, pay for a mortgage and buy their own house, you know. So that's something that going forward that we will work really hard on. And, we would like to see also a €600 rent tax credit for people, so that they would, you know, so it would support them while they are renting houses, because people are at the pin of their collar between paying rent, paying for childcare, you know, and trying to get up and go out and do a day's work. It's, you know, there's a huge amount of people, what we'll call middle income people, that are at the pin of their collar.
Now, obviously, one of the other big issues as well, you alluded to it at the start there as well, the pension.
Yes, yes.
And the pension age and the furore around that.
Yes, and it has been a huge, it has been massive on the doors. Absolutely surprising how massive it is. But I suppose not surprising when you see in 2014, even though you were entitled to retire at 65, you didn't get paid your state contributory pension until you were 66. And what people had to do was they had to go to the social welfare office and they had to apply for job seekers allowance, and they were only allowed to claim it for 9 months. Now, I had a man who came to me who worked in the local authority. He was based out of Dungarvan. He started work when he was 15 and he worked for 50 years in the local authority in Waterford City and County Council, Waterford County Council at the time. And he told me the day he went to sign on, he cried. It was the first time he had signed on in his life. And so what was agreed when the Troika came into Ireland was that in 2021, the age for to claim your pension would increase to 67, and that by 2028, it would increase to 68. Now, there has been a huge furore about this, you know, and I actually, when I was looking at this at home the other night, I went back to see how often had I raised it in the Dáil, this situation, because it's actually getting ahead of steam now, because I suppose in 2015, when it happened to the first cohort of workers, there was only so many of them. But like this year alone, 30,000 people are going to be impacted. Mm-hmm. So it's grown year on year, and it's only going to, you know, the gap is only going to get wider and wider. And what happens is, if you're entitled to the state contributory pension, you will get €248.30 a week. However, on job seekers, you'll get between 203 and 209. So you're automatically down €40 a week. But coupled with that, you're coming off a base where you were earning a week's wages.
Indeed.
And then you're going straight into a pension payment, which is more or less half of what you were getting. And, you know, people are very, very upset over that. So what Fianna Fáil have agreed to do, they have agreed a transition pension payment at the age of 65. So you will still receive the exact same amount as your pension, but it's been called a transition payment in the interim because the law was passed that you wouldn't get your pension until 66. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do a review of the proposed changes and defer the 2021 changes until that review is carried out to see a way forward. You see, I suppose we have to remember also that by 2050, we will have 1.5 million people living in Ireland who are aged over 65. And the worry is there that will we have the funding to pay the pension? And I suppose this was one of the reasons at the time that they decided to push the pension out, because people are living longer, people are healthier. But at the same time, you know, as one man said to me the other day, like, I've worked, he said, for 45 years. He was 62. I'm so looking forward to retiring in 3 years' time. I'm on the countdown, he said. You know, he works in a physical job. And now they're telling me it's 67 and then it could be 68. So people are incensed, and rightly so. I believe in pension equality for all workers, whether you're a politician or not. Because, say, for example, I was to retire tomorrow. Because I was elected after 2012, I would receive my pension at 65. But there are politicians now who were in the Dáil prior to 2012, and they actually can claim their pension.
55?
Yes,
yep.
That's correct. So, you know, it's very hard to sell this on the doors. We need pension equality for all. And I think another thing we also have to remember as well, that there's an awful lot of people who have worked hard throughout their lives, but 65% of them will not have a second tier pension. They won't have a private pension, because during their lives they couldn't afford to pay for it.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah. Now, obviously, there's I think there's about 11 people running in the constituency.
Yes, that's correct.
Two of which, yourself and David Cullinan, are the sitting TDs.
Waterford is actually, I think, it's an unusual, and it's kind of been seen as kind of a bellwether, because in the last election, four people, there were two of them. There was a minister at TD and two senators who contested the 2016 election.
DC Halligan.
Halligan, Grace O'Sullivan and Paddy Coffey. So yeah, Grace O'Sullivan is now an MEP. And Paddy Coffey has retired from politics. John Deasy is retiring from politics, and Minister John Halligan, who will still be a minister until the election is over, he's also retiring from politics. So the only two incumbents are myself and David Cullinan of Sinn Féin.
And this is pretty wide open now, isn't it?
And it's wide open. It's wide open. So there are two candidates running for Fine Gael, and there's a Green candidate, and there's quite a few independents, and there's a Labour candidate as well. So it is wide open. It's unusual, actually, that you would only have two incumbents running, and that you have also you have nobody who would have challenged for an election previously and was unsuccessful. So it is quite unusual, and it's one to watch.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah. Now, given that I guess your other, I'll say, front runner for the two of you guys, do you work well together in Waterford? Because, you know, bringing together, there's a lot of rural areas within Waterford, and there's a lot of space to cover as well.
There's a huge amount of ground to cover. You know, Waterford is a population of 110,000, but, like, you know, it's huge. It's you know, you're going from Passage East up to Clonmel, all the way around Ballymacarbery into Yall Bridge and back, or all around the coast. So it's an absolute huge area to cover. There hasn't been a divide agreed between myself and my running mate, but I suppose simply because I'm a TD with 4 years, and I have an office in Dungarvan, I have an office in Waterford City, so it would be impossible for me not to function, because my full-time 5-day office is in Waterford City. But I suppose going forward, our aim is to try and maximise the vote. We want Micheál Martin to be Taoiseach of Ireland. I believe people want a change. We're hearing it on the doors. A lot of people are very, very unhappy in relation to health issues and housing issues, now in relation to pension issues and other things as well, because every time you knock a door, there's a different story behind each door. And I have to say, in the main, people are very, very nice. And, you know, some people are interested in politics and they'll engage. Some people are not as interested. And, you know, you're calling at times when they might be trying to put on the dinner, do the homework with the kids. There's no ideal time to call, you know. And then obviously during the day, people are working. So, you know, what I'm doing now for the next 2.5 weeks is just trying to cover as much ground as possible. I'm trying not to leave out any single area, and just hope that the people of Waterford City and County will come out and support me on the 8th of February.
Okay, so all things being equal, you're re-elected. What one law that's been brought in would you reverse?
That's a tough question. What law was brought in that would reverse? Okay, well, what I would like to see, the law that was brought in, that the pension age is now at... you're entitled to retire at 65, but you don't receive your pension until 66. I'd like to see that changed. But I'd also like to see on the flip side of the coin, there are people forced to retire at 65 who don't want to. You take, for example, David Davenport in RTE and Mary Kennedy on Nationwide. These were two who's written into their contract that they had to retire at 65, regardless. They're, you know, and it's the Fianna Fáil belief that if you want to work on, if you're happy to work on, if your boss is happy to keep you on, if you're healthy enough to work on, why not? We've so much to offer after 65 as well. But I think it's all about options and choices, and that should be there. So I'd like to see the reversal of being forced to retire at 65, but I would also like to see the option for someone if they want to retire at 65, it's there also.
There you go. Mary Butler, Fianna Fáil, thank you very much.
Will, thank you very much.
Pleasure.